Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Episode 74, Embracing Technology in Legal Practice. Insights from my conversation with Edda Rosa. My next guest is Edda Rosa. Through Edda Rosa LLC, Edda offers legal education and professional development with over 20 years of experience. Her mission is to equip legal professionals for career growth through diverse platforms, emphasizing continuous learning. Edda is the host of Let's Talk Paralegal podcast, author of Let's Talk Paralegal book, and an active member of select organizations like Lean In and Namati Global Legal Empowerment Network. Enjoy. Have you been enjoying the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast? Consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast feeds. Edda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you being here. And to get things started, please tell us, what is your current tech setup?
I have a podcast as well. So I have obviously my nice little light up podcast mic. I also have my little ring light for lighting because we do a lot of short videos and all that good stuff. I have my camera, which I don't know what the brand is. I think it's a Logitech. It's a Logitech camera.
Is it the Brio?
Yes, it's that one.
So it's a 4K monitor.
Yes.
But I'm going to pause you for a second. We're going to go back a step with two questions. Number one, what is your mic? Do you know who makes it?
Oh, it's HyperX.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything special about it?
It lights up.
That it does. I like it. I like that a lot.
No, it also kills the noise. It's noise canceling.
Okay.
And I can step away from the mic and you can't hear anything around it. Like if I need to cough or something, I can do that. Or with my finger, I can tap it and the mic will come off. So if I need to just turn it off completely so you don't hear any type of background noise, you can have that. It's also, you can either have it on the bottom. It has like all these little adjustments where you can use it as a stand for your hand. Like if you're trying to talk, speaking engagement, you can hang it over. You can put it on the like desk, however you want to put it. The stand is pretty much really cool like that. And you can do whatever you want. And I bought an extension so it goes longer. So that way you can actually see the mic instead of just having it like right on top of me and then having all these like light shadows on top of my head.
I think actually if I move it over just a little bit, if I move the camera over for you, of course the listener can't really see this because this is a podcast, not a video cast. And you should see my mic.
I love it.
Hanging from the ceiling right
here.
No
way.
So it's completely off the desk. It's completely out of the way. And I really enjoy it. It's a Shure MV7.
I like that. Okay, cool.
And the other question I have to ask is, what is the name of your podcast?
Oh, it's called Let's Talk Paralegal. I love it. I've had it for 4 seasons now. And we're going bilingual. Thank you.
Cool.
We're going bilingual next month. We'll actually have our first full episode in Spanish. So I'm pretty excited.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, congratulations on that. And I have to ask, are you going to be attending PodFest, which I know is quite
up the street? Oh, yeah. I literally just bought my tickets probably like a week ago because we're not the only ones to ask me. And everybody kept saying, are you coming back? Are you coming back? And I was on the fence on it. But then I finally just said, you know what? I'm just going to go. It's 3 hours away. I can do that. So yeah, I'll definitely be there for sure.
Well, be sure to say hello when you're there because I'll be there too.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, of course. And then we have to take pictures for social media and the whole nine yards.
And there's a bunch of lawyers up there too.
Yes, I know. So it would benefit me as well. In more ways than none.
Benefit everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Although I don't party as hard as all the attendees, I do enjoy myself because I'm trying to take care of work while I'm there too.
Balance. Which,
yeah. So, but tell us what other tech devices you got there.
Oh, I have another apparently I really like Logitech. I have the Logitech screen. It's actually one of these screens where you can do the double. So like I can have it. It's a,
I think it's 60 inch.
Yeah. It's a 60 inch screen. And you
from
can
Logitech?
Actually. Yeah.
Wait, Logitech makes monitors?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what exactly the model is, but I can send it for you so you can add it in the description later on. But yeah, so it also does the dual, like instead of, you only have one screen instead of having two, but you can divide it into two. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And I use it because I do a lot of drafting. As for paralegals, we do a lot of drafting and research and things like that.
Yep.
So it's really nice to have dual screens when you're trying to do the research and draft. So it's really cool.
And computer?
I'm an HP person. I love
that's
HP.
Okay. That's okay.
I know.
I'm a Mac
literally my entire company is ran by Google Suite. Like Google can literally take my information any day now and that'll be a business out. But I have the Envy, the HP Envy.
Okay.
And I love it. It's the one that you can also use as a tablet so you can fold it over and write on it and all that stuff. So it's easy. It's light to travel with. So it's amazing. But I also have a tablet just in case I don't want to take the whole laptop with me. And this one is a Samsung. It also writes and it's pretty travel friendly, obviously, but you can also put a keyboard on it. It's pretty cool. And it comes with a pen, all that good stuff. So
smartphone?
Yeah, Google Pixel.
Okay.
I'm definitely about Google. I have the Google Pixel. I think this is a 7 or a 6. I'm not quite sure which generation it is. I just got it. So, and then I'm getting the watch because I think it came out either today or it's coming out. I don't know if it's today or a couple weeks from today, but it was coming out in October. So I waited for the second generation. So I'll have that pretty soon too.
A Google watch? Did I hear it correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm all about integrating and automation and all that good stuff. So all my devices have to talk because I travel a lot for work. So if there's any glitches or anything like that, it's not going
to
work.
Let me ask you, if I wanted to listen to at least one podcast about lawyers using Windows and Google and Android, what would be the podcast to listen to?
Yours.
No, well, I mean, let me start that over again. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Although I was actually looking for one for me to listen to. Well, I enjoy mine, of course. I do both Windows and Mac and, of course, Android OS. But I was just curious if there's any other, because, for instance, I listened to a couple of specific Mac-centric podcasts, including Mac Geek Gab and Mac Power Users.
Okay.
And though they really focus on Apple and Mac products. So I'm looking for one that is focused on Windows and Google and Android.
Not a niche I've actually delved in. I know a lot of AI podcasts. Everybody's into the whole AI thing now, but Microsoft specific, not that I know of. I don't really know of any podcast that's specific.
I've been trying to find some just because I want to learn more on that side.
I don't know if there's a podcast per se, but there is a YouTuber, which she's also a colleague of mine, that she actually her name is Misty, and she runs, the company's called Arrow Consultants.
Okay.
And they created for Office 365, they created a whole case management. So with the license that the lawyer already has with Office 365, you can utilize it as a legal case management software that integrates with everything of Microsoft. So everything Microsoft would be her. So she's always a go-to person when it comes to like Microsoft specific way. She's just a brain when it comes to that. So definitely check that out. Arrow Consultants.
I will have to look her up for sure. Are there any other tech devices that you'd like to share with the audience?
Okay. So I do a lot of presentations.
Okay.
And sometimes when I go, they don't have my little clicker and I love clickers.
Okay.
So this one is brand new. It's also Logitech. And so is, my mouse is Lizrot. It's a really cool one. Here, I'll show you for you so you can see it. It lights up. I'm very like, see, it has a little ball
trackball
on the side. Yep. It's not very traditional, but it has the clicker over here. I can go up and down on the page and it's pretty cool. So this one's pretty cool. This one's called Lizrot. Found it on Amazon.
And what was the name of your clicker?
So it's from Logitech, but I don't know what specific one it is. But it's the one that does a dual screen too, because my screen is dual stool and all stuff. So it does that. It does lighting. It helps you with the lighting. So let's say like the screen is dimming. You can also, if you have any links in your presentation, you can hit the link button and it'll pop up with the link, change the pages like anything else. If you have it on automation, you can do that as well. It has a laser where you can point. So yes, I had to invest a lot in my tech because of that. Because when I would travel, I was so used to having my presentation a certain way. You call me bougie, if anything. But I was so used to it that I actually started investing in my own portable, travel friendly. And then the USB, what I love about it is the USB connector is actually in the battery pack and it's rechargeable. Oh, okay. So I don't have to have it somewhere, so I don't lose it or anything because it's literally in the back. Oh my God, it's amazing. And they're super affordable. That's what I like about Logitech. They have really good products for like affordable pricing. So anything Logitech I like.
I used to use their solar keyboards.
Oh, I have them.
The numerical solar keyboard?
Well, I don't know if it's solar, but I have this one.
I know which one you're talking. I see that one. And
I can play my music on here. I don't have to look it up. I can just pop on there. And it's
it has the ergonomics for your wrist. Oh,
everything. Because I type so much. Anything ergonomics. I'm all about my chair too. Everything. So
only problem I have with mine is that the battery seemed to die after a year and a half, 2.5 years. And I tried replacing it because it was solar powered. And same problem. And then after that, I ended up getting the Mac extended keyboard with
because you can just plug it in when it dies.
Right. And also I can actually it's plugged in now. I can also use my fingerprint for security purposes, which is just absolutely fantastic because when you're updating software, you have to put in the password, you just put your finger there and boom.
I like it.
Well, tell you what, let's get into the questions.
Sure.
What are the top three ways attorneys can use technology to easily and consistently onboard new staff?
I always say start with the process first, right? So before hiring, you have to set yourself up for success, right? So before you actually hire, you have to set up your process of hiring. Find yourself either you want to do a legal recruiter, you got to find a process for that. So a platform where you can create, where you can constantly be in communication with your legal recruiter. When you're actually developing the description, ask yourself, what exactly is this person really going to fulfill in my dream, right? Because at the end of the day, you're building your dream builder, you're building a dream. So understanding that you need to have a user-friendly platform, whether it's Asana, I love Asana, Trello, something super simple, super user-friendly that even has a free option, right? Because we all go to like investing hundreds of dollars for something that really, how often are you going to utilize this platform, right? Especially when you're trying to onboard or staff somebody. Also, your HR, Microsoft has a lot, like Teams. It has a lot to offer as well. So look at what you already have. I'm a big believer of not reinventing the wheel. If you have a lot of software that you've already invested in on a month-to-month basis, see what that has to offer. Clio has a communication option. MyCase has one. Microsoft, they all have a communication option where you can easily add a user and you can continuously communicate with the staff or the legal recruiter or whoever you're using in order to onboard. Most of these new platforms such as Indeed, WiseHire, which I love. WiseHire is my personal favorite, especially if you're like a small to mid law firm. Perfect. They're perfect. They're super affordable. They create templates for you. They help you with the description. They just make the process so much easier. So you're not just paying for a platform to just upload a description and hope and pray you get your superstar. It's more of a constant communication. You have somebody designated to you specifically that helps you with templating, testing. They incorporate the DISC, which is the personality test. And so try and find software where it has maybe at least 80 to 90% that will fulfill your needs. So anything like that, I always suggest. I'm always about efficiency, effectiveness, and affordability, right? Those are my three key points, especially when you're onboarding.
Well, when you're onboarding, we live in a pretty much a virtual environment right now.
Oh, yeah.
And for interviews and for even work, what do you suggest attorneys use when it comes to video conferencing, telephone communications?
Yeah.
Even email.
I love Nextiva for telephone communication, but also MyCase and Clio have integrations. So if you're already using those two platforms, they already have text messaging communication already integrated in there. Again, I'm all about integration and automation as seamless as you can possibly do it. Don't reinvent the wheel. But Nextiva, if you don't have a platform or you don't have the version where it includes that and you feel like you just want like a separate one because people are people, they're going to have their own thing. You can use that. Now, if you already have Microsoft, again, you can use Teams. Teams has a video option where you can send out the link. Now, if you don't have Microsoft or Clio or any of these platforms and you're using what I call the minimalist effect, then I would do Nextiva. Nextiva is an affordable option. It's a great company for whether you want that big block of phone or you want the phone integrated in your computers. You can do text messaging and everything through there. If for Zoom, right? Zoom is very affordable, right? We can, you know, you can pretty much use Zoom for anything at this point. You can do telephone as well for Zoom. They have the telephone option. Another one that I like to use is StreamYard. StreamYard is awesome now because they have like recordings for you. Like you can record a conversation, especially if you're doing team building. If you're going to do anything like that, you can just have them connect and then like not go live. You don't have to go live. Right. A lot of people are recording interviews now, which I don't know how I feel about that. But it is what it is. But a lot of people are recording it because they want to see, one, what was asked, what the expectations were set, and something that human resources is utilizing for later on down the line. Well, in your interview, you said this and this, and it wasn't like that, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. So they're utilizing pretty much in, it's a heavy litigated world right now that we're living in. People are just suing you for basically anything. There's employment law has become number one. So I think that's more of why these are starting to be recorded. And if the person doesn't feel comfortable, then they have somebody with them, right? So there's more than one interviewee present while they're interviewing, and they're just covering all bases at that point. So anything like that, again, all about affordability.
Pardon the interruption. I hope you're enjoying the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast as much as I enjoy making them. Consider buying us a cup of coffee or two to help defray some of the production costs. Thanks and enjoy. Let me see if I can get a third answer from you, but I'm going to twist the question just a little bit.
Okay.
What about when we're exiting? What, in particular, what I'm concerned about are security issues. For instance, client personal information or prior drafts or other confidential documents. What do you think an attorney should do when they're saying goodbye to a soon-to-be former paralegal or staff member?
Yeah, these are situations that you need to handle from the forefront, right? From the interview process, right? So these are non-disclosure agreements. Confidentiality agreements need to be signed along with the employee handbook that's specific to those kind of things. If you already see this continuous problem, create solutions by handling that in the forefront before you even have to get to that point. Eventually, they're either going to leave, grow with you. There's going to be an exit of some sort, right? They're either going to be changing positions if they don't leave with you or whatever the case may be. Any transitional period from the life of your employee should be thought through at the time of onboarding. However, if that's not the case right now and you're learning from, like we all do, from either mistakes or mishaps, then you would have to do that at the exit, right? Have them promise that or sign something saying, hey, change the passwords immediately, right? Change everything. Cybersecurity has been a big thing now with the phishing and the emails and stuff like that. And so continuous password changes should be a thing as well.
How frequently do you believe attorneys and paralegals and others should be changing their passwords?
3 to 6 months. I would not wait the full year. A lot of people do it yearly, like towards the end of the year or the beginning of the year. It's just become so common right now. Even an email that looks legitimate, right? Even an email that says Google or somebody from your address book. Unfortunately, it is what it is. It's the truth right now. And so hacking has become a big thing, especially for law firms, because we carry, like you said, so much confidentiality in our databases. And we carry what they want, social security numbers, date of births. That's exactly what they're looking for. So understanding that should be a constant thing. And it should be, I know Google has this. I'm not sure. And I'm sure Mac has one, because if Google has it, Mac has to have it. It's where they create a password for you with all these specialized passwords, and then they save them onto your device or whatever the case may be. So maybe even utilizing something of that nature.
Is Google what you use to store and generate passwords, or do you have like a special password wallet? For instance, like 1Password.
I have a password. Yeah, I have a password wallet, but Google offers that for you for the G Suite. So it doesn't live in your G Suite. It lives, it lives in incognito for you. So
what do you use?
I forgot what it's called. It's called something here. It's called Google Key, I believe.
Okay.
Is what they call it.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I may have misspoken there, but I think it's called Google Key, and it's where you automatically, you'll have your password manager. Everybody has a password manager, but I think it's called Google Key. I'm not sure. I'll look it up and let you know.
Exactly. Well, we can put that in the show notes later.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love it. It's very incognito and it lives in your, in the background, right? Where nobody really can get to it unless they're literally in your device. So, which again can be common.
Unfortunately, yes.
So not everything is great. Another suggestion is, and I've seen this a lot, maybe not so much now because everybody's working virtually, but I know back when we had like physical office space and we all had to like be there, people would leave their passwords on their desk.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's not cool. Or the sticky notes on your laptops or whatever, like those electronic sticky notes.
I like to share, it's not my story to share. It's David Sparks of Mac Power Users. He used to be an attorney. Now he's just completely a social media and content production creator on the Mac side. And the story he'd tell is about how he'd walk into an office, the duck depositions against the opposing party, et cetera. And they would see on the secretary or the law clerk's table, the passwords used by that particular employee. It'd be like sticky noted to their monitor or something like that. And like anyone can see that is like bad password management.
Especially if you have clients walking through, and visitors, any visitors. Another thing with the legal industry that we have, and the medical industry also has a similar thing with HIPAA violations.
So let's move on to question number two. What are the top three areas in tech do you see lawyers, paralegals, law clerks, and office staff still lacking in their use of technology?
Knowledge, right? Knowledge is key. So sometimes we purchase software, we purchase all this tech, but we don't know the full extent, right? So when we're training, for example, which is why I have a job in the first place, when we're training our legal support staff, we're only training them in the software good enough, or I guess up to the point so that they can be successful at their job. But how about if we taught them about the integration, what it integrates with? How about if it doesn't integrate anymore? How about if the upgrade is doing all the knowledge that comes with the software is really what we should be training them. They should be a Clio expert by the end of it, my case expert. They should know the full extent of the software because it's not only going to help them fulfill the position, right, and excel at what they do, it's also going to make them efficient, right, effective. It's also going to shorten the time that it takes them to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. We can automate a lot more if we knew all that. Like if not a lot of people know that in my case, the Outlook calendar and the My Case calendar, they actually integrate. So you only have to implement it once. Instead of trying to put it in both calendars and figuring it out later, it integrates. So these little things that take you double the time because whatever you and all these deadlines and everything that you're implementing in your case, in the actual case management software, how cool is it that it can translate to your Microsoft Word? So knowing all these integrations and automations and knowing the full extent of what the actual software and the tools and the tech that you have available is really where it's lacking right now. And sometimes that has to do because the person themselves, they don't know, right? Like the lawyer themselves, they purchase all this nice tech and they don't know everything that it does. So going above and beyond, requesting the demos, sitting down with a representative of the software, it's not going to cost you much. It's maybe going to cost you 30 minutes at max, and depending on the questions that you have after that. But understanding that is really going to help you. And it's really going to intensify the role that you have with the law firm.
So for the third answer, do you have any third-party software that you use to help improve efficiency or to create certain workflows or some way to make just life in the office for lawyers and paralegals and staff a little bit easier?
Specifically third parties. I often say that case management software has grown a lot. You don't need to go out there and do any. The only, I guess, third party, if you're trying to do third party services, right? So when you're trying to do like court reporting, right? That's something that obviously is not going to integrate. Or videography, right? If you need something for specific exhibitors, right? People that create your 3D images and things like that. I would say make sure that they have either an app, a website that is connected with them, right? So that you can, especially process serving. I don't know why we're still emailing people to follow up on servicing. Like this day and age, we should not be doing that. So I'm still dumbfounded that some process servers still say, hey, just email me the information. There's so many process serving. There's so much, like you said, in this day and age, everything is virtual. I love for specifically for process serving. I love they're from Info And I love their services there because they integrate everything. You can text message the process server. They'll send you pictures. They'll send you everything. Like, it's like literally day in, day out, like live action, right? So just find a third party vendor or service that gives you the full experience, right? That you're not having to chase after them and having to chase after the transcripts from the court reporter. That it should automatically be uploaded into a system where you can download it yourself on your end. When you're exchanging exhibits for discovery, any little thing like that, make sure that your software is beastly enough for that. And that these third-party vendors are offering you that type of service. Because if you're going to pay full price, where these people are raising their prices on the daily, make sure you get what you pay for.
Now, I'm going to twist your answer because you were talking about vendors. And what I'm trying to pull from you are perhaps specific software hacks. And let me give you a couple of examples, and maybe we can get a couple of answers from that direction. So two of my favorite programs are, one is Text Expander. Allows you to type snippets and just populate out things either in certain formats or phrases and paragraphs and things that you just routinely say. That works both in Windows and Mac. And then I use another program called Hazel, which works Mac specific. It works in the background. And I know there are Windows specific programs that do workflows and automation on your computer in the background. So The way I have Hazel set up, for instance, I have it when I tag certain files in certain folders, it will automatically move that file from that folder to another folder. Or in my trash, if I download an ICS file, which is a Microsoft Windows or an Apple Calendar file, after I download it, after 5 minutes, well, one have already opened, it will be populated into the calendar program I use, and then it will be sent to trash. Do you have any programs like that?
That's a good one. I used to have, and I don't even know if they exist anymore, but I used to have this program, other than the Grammarly, right? All those.
Right, yes. You know, Grammarly is a great program. I love Grammarly.
There's also Packback, which is great for writing. It's called Pack, like you're packing something, and then the back. That is a great one because it's a little more robust than Grammarly because it gives you feedback. It tells you, hey, maybe these are a few suggestions that you can reword and rewrite it. And one thing that Grammarly doesn't have that Packback has is it recognizes legal writing. Because Grammarly, it's more like everyday writing is what I call it. But when we use like Deuces Dicum or Subpoena or something Latin, sometimes Grammarly tends to confuse it and say, did you mean blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so Packback is amazing. I use it a lot for legal writing and it gives you feedback. It gives you suggestions along with the whole grammar, spell check and all that good stuff. So maybe that's one of them that I recently used that I would say really cool. It's like $30 for the year. So I think you get like a 7-day trial if you want to use it, but it's really great. Oh, Speechify, for those of you that like to read a lot and not read, by reading, not read. My husband is one of them. So he's actually the one that told me about it. So you can upload basically any document on Speechify and it'll speak it to you. It'll read it to you. Yeah. And then if you get the paid version, you can even have like cool voices like Barack Obama or Snoop Dogg or like all these like, and it's literally them. Like they recorded a whole bunch of words and you can actually hear it, the text in their voice. And it's really cool and entertaining. So for those of you that don't want to sit there and read 400 pages of discovery, you can just have it read it to you and take notes as you go, which is a really cool third party hack.
Excellent. So wait, I think I got two from you. Is there a third you might suggest?
A third one. Let me see. I don't know if I have a third one. Let me see. I'm thinking.
Well, I'll throw out for you. I use one called WordRake.
Okay.
That integrates with Microsoft Word.
Okay.
So, and of course, that might, I don't know if they integrate with Google Docs or not. I know they integrate with Microsoft Word, which I've been using for forever. And it's similar. It will offer suggestions and you can have it go for brevity. You can go for simplicity, but specifically for legal documents.
Okay.
Because we get a little wordy. We get a little perhaps too obtuse.
Our briefs are not so brief.
Yeah. And they like to be long-winded. Because attorneys like to hear themselves speak.
Actually, LexisNexis, that reminded me. LexisNexis has a product as well. I'm not sure what it's called, but it's where you upload it into their software and it'll pull out the caseload for you, case law for you, and do all that good stuff. So,
And it will analyze the brief from either perspective, from perhaps your parties or the opposing parties.
Yeah. And it's really useful. I've used it a lot for the briefs. So
yeah, I plan on using it. It's just that the type of work I do, I mostly represent veterans before the VA. It's this kind of, that kind of work isn't always really necessary. But let's move on to our last question. What are your top three ways paralegals, law clerks, office staff, et cetera, can use technology to make their lawyer bosses work easier?
Lawyers, I know, lawyers always, their heartbeat is their calendar, right? We all drive on our deadlines, right? And sometimes those deadlines are provided to us by the courts. So really having a great system for calendaring and knowing the type of communication that your lawyer likes, I think those would be the two primary focuses that you want to focus on. So if, again, not reinventing the wheel, if you're utilizing Outlook for calendaring, if you're utilizing Nextiva or Clio or MyCase for communications, anything that you can record, because MyCase text messages, you can actually, they have a text message option where you can click on the text messages and you can see all the text messages that have been sent on that file. So again, getting that robust case management software, also get your attorney integrated in that, right? Because you want them to be as tech savvy as possible. I had this amazing attorney that I worked with that all he took with him for trial, mind you, I'm saying trial, was his iPad.
Okay. Do you know about, is it TrialPad? I think is the name of the program.
TrialPad. Yep. TrialPad. That was the app that he used, and he had all his exhibits in there and he would send them off, and we didn't have to print anything because we would send off all our packets beforehand. The only one we would print obviously is for the judge if they required it in on paper. But yeah, we live in Florida. So Florida, we litigate a lot differently. When COVID came, we were pretty much halfway there. When it came to that, because we have for our biggest like counties here in Florida, everything is electronic. Like I don't even remember the last time I had to go to the court to file something or follow up with the clerk or do anything of that sort. So we were pretty much all set up for that when COVID came. The only thing that we were, that I guess we were not prepared for was trial itself, because it was a new concept to have a trial virtually, especially with a jury.
How'd that go?
It went really well. We were probably one of the first states that did virtual trials. We started off with non-jury first, obviously, because it's a lot easier. And they did it through Zoom. We call it Zoom Court. And they did everything through Zoom. Yeah, Zoom stocks probably went up really well.
Well, I don't know if you worked with this attorney, but in episode 35, I interviewed Jamie Holland.
Okay.
I think he did the first Zoom trial.
I think it was. Yeah, probably. I think it was.
And,
right.
Yeah. And yeah, that was actually 3 years ago.
Yeah. Now we do mediation, arbitration, everything are done virtually. I remember back in the day when you had to request a video deposition. Yep. You had to pay for that. Was an additional cost to pay for a videographer to come in and video a deposition. So it's very cost effective, right? So.
And I do a lot of hearings before the Board of Veterans Appeals. And the way to do it back in the day was either in person or travel board, where you had to travel out to wherever the veteran was across the country. And of course, that was always a good thing because the judge was usually a bit tired, you know, having to go out there and back and whatever. And then there was video hearing where the veteran had to go to the regional VA regional office, and the judge and actually usually I could be in the same room together here in DC, which at the time was not my favorite way of doing things. But when COVID hit, the VA, BVA had just started implementing the virtual hearing process, where it's just by video cam with veteran at his or her home set up with their iPhone or their smart device or their laptop with a webcam. And the judge would be quickly, it turned out to be at his or her home because of COVID. And then of course I'd be here in my home office, and it made things a lot easier for everyone. And that really turned out to be a very positive experience for everybody. And that's the way that I've been doing, I think, all of my hearings, almost all my hearings, at least for the last 2 or 3 years. But like I said, COVID really accelerated that.
Yeah, not only that, I always talk about accessibility and affordability, especially for our clients that don't have that much to give to a lawyer, especially. So attorneys used to bill for their time, and their time started at the time that they left the office to go to the court. So it's also a very cost-effective and efficient way. Now lawyers can be in hearings all day because it doesn't matter where they practice. It doesn't matter if the court is 3-4 hours away because you can do it through Zoom. So I think in all ends, it was something that was needed.
Oh, I agree. And then on top of that, you don't have to be stuck at the courthouse waiting for your turn or if something else happens, again, stuck at court, billing your client.
Or you forgot it or whatever the case may be, you can easily access it through your system. Yeah.
And quite frankly, if the judge or something's going awry where I'm basically stuck at my office, stop that clock, if you will, and then just work on something else until it's time to go.
Absolutely. So I'm always about that. I'm always about anything that can be more efficient and effective. Those were my like two favorites other than my name.
So we talked about keeping the calendar straight.
Yeah.
We've talked about Zoom presentations. How do office staff, paralegals, law clerks, et cetera, how do they help prepare lawyers for those kind of meetings, for the virtual hearings, the virtual teleconferences, and the virtual depositions? What is the best way office staff can assist their boss, if you will, when it comes to preparing for those kind of meetings?
So I always believe, I'm a big believer in strategy meetings, right? Versus just meetings with no agendas.
Right.
So continuously talking to your lawyer and communicating with everyone on that team in that particular case. Okay, so we're here, we're at this point. What's the next step? What are we trying to accomplish at the end? Are we trying to go to trial? Is this a triable case or not? If it's not, how are we going to cut that? Can we get to mediation a lot faster? Can we file an extension so that we have more time to do discovery and prepare the correct questions? These are the type of meetings that paralegals, support staff, and lawyers should be having continuously, constantly, right? So creating checklists, I believe, is probably the easiest thing. So on A, B, C, and D cases, this is your checklist for hearings, mediations, trials, and then create several of them, right? Whether it's electronic, whether it's physical, pick your poison at that point. But understanding that and then implementing that in the caseload flow, in the workflows, implementing that. Okay, you're at this point of the checklist. Is there anything else that we need? Oh, we're filing an extension. Why are we filing an extension? Why are we not getting an agreed order so we don't have to go to hearing on an extension? Shortening, again, being more efficient and more effective in that way. So checklists are amazing for that. Strategy meetings with your attorney. And then once you get the full picture, you're like, okay, what are we doing? Are we going to trial? Are we doing deposition? Are we doing mediation? Or are we doing a hearing?
Do you use any software to keep track of the checklist?
Yeah. So Clio, my case, they all have them, right? They all have these workflows that you can create. They all have these task lists that you can, that actually integrate with Outlook as well, because Outlook has tasks now.
Right.
So things like that, you can definitely implement and integrate through your process if you have those robust cases. Now, if you don't, if that's not something that, again, if you're like a sole practitioner and you only have like one paralegal and you haven't invested in these softwares, then I suggest a simple one that's called Asana. I use it all the time.
Okay.
And Trello. Any task management ones that you can utilize, you can create tasks, subtasks. It'll integrate into most of the Microsoft platforms. It'll also send you emails. So like if a task has been completed, it'll let you know, hey, this task was completed on this matter, whatever the case may be. So these are free ways, I guess you could say, in order to manage something like that as well. You can also upload the documents. So like for the actual day, let's say you're going to mediation, let's say you're going to court, right? You want to prepare them. So have the motion, have the hearing, have all these set documents for them and have them in the order. Like they should not be flipping through stuff. They should not be clicking through stuff, depending what it is. Again, this is all dependent on the attorney. I have some attorneys that like it physical, that like it printed with tabs. Again, electronic as a backup. I have ones that are all virtual, that don't want any paper. So again, have those conversations with your attorney. See how they like to be communicated, how they like to be organized, what they like. Are they tech friendly? Because some lawyers are not. Some lawyers are not tech friendly. Teaching them, taking that extra time. Hey, if we did it this way, you would always have access to it because Clio, in my case, they all have apps on the phone. So you can just open it up on your phone, look at the document in PDF format or whatever the format is, and then always have your information on file. Create subfolders and all the good stuff.
You were talking about an attorney who used TrialPad, and if I heard you correctly, you or at least the office would provide a hard copy to the judge.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, would you still bring a hard copy for yourself, heavens forbid, the tech goes awry?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's dependent on the attorney. It depends on the trial too. Sometimes the trials weren't so robust. Sometimes we've already gotten partial judgment. So we were litigating like a section of it. So it really depends. We had heavy hitters like the FIU bridge, the one that collapsed. We were working on that. The LA Fitness implantation that exploded due to mace gone awry or gone wrong, like that, where there's multiple defendants or multiple plaintiffs. And, you know, you got to analyze the situation as a whole, and you have to have those strategy meetings and say, okay, how robust is this trial? Is it just like one little section? Or also, you don't really need a physical file. If you have a tablet, you can always have hard copies on your tablet where you don't need Wi-Fi or anything like that. Right. You can have the documents actually on your screen and then flip through them. You can do little notes. Adobe Pro is amazing for that. It's called Adobe Cloud now. It's like web-based. Yep. It's amazing for editing, for putting notes and comments and things like that, and sharing it with other people so that you don't have a physical file. It's just a link and you can click on the link. It's, you know, again, technology is just amazing. The things that would take us hundreds of years to prepare for. This is why when I do the consulting and I ask, how long is it really taking you to do a trial? And they tell me it's more than 3 months. I'm like, that's too much. Like, what are you doing wrong? It should not take you more than 3 months to prepare for a trial, especially when you have an order from like a year ago. Like, what have you been doing for a year?
So let me ask this as part of your third answer on the third question. Is it important that office staff be almost as competent or more competent than the lawyer when it comes to technology?
I would say more. You would put yourself in a better position as far as your value, as far as a worker. We work the cases. We're there to partner with a lawyer and be their partner. And I always say that, okay, you're not going to be 100% all the time, but if you're 100% at this and you've created a streamlined process and you can always be there for your lawyer and you're that valuable to the company, you will not only, I'm never going to say irreplaceable because everybody's irreplaceable. Unfortunately, that's just the reality that we live in, but it will be very hard to replace you, right? I know law firms that after I have left, on a good note, what didn't matter what note it was, there would be like 7 people doing what I did for 5 years. And that's the position you want. You want that. You want to know that there's 7 people doing what you did for 5 years. And it's just good for your legal career. It's good for your mind. You never get bored. It's never a boring day. You never get burned out either. Because if you're streamlining and being effective and automating and integrating and doing all the things, you'll never be burnt out. You'll never miss any deadlines. That's your job. But your job at the end of the day is to cover the attorney and to be there for the attorney. That's why the whole like legal support staff was even created, right? That's how we elevated from just being a receptionist, a legal assistant, to being a paraprofessional. So understanding your position. And always, my dad always used to say this in Spanish, so I'm going to like roughly translate it, but it's basically the equivalent of that saying that says, dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have, kind of thing. And that rings true to your skills. Like, I always knew I wanted to be the CEO paralegal, which is where I got my nickname. I wanted to be that executive go-to person that even when I was on vacation, I loved it when my boss would call me. It would not be any like a pet peeve for me because I'm like, that means I'm valuable. That means nobody in the office could figure it out. And that's the position you want to be in. You want to be that person. You want to be the person where your attorney always leans on you because that's what you're meant for. That's what you're there for.
Excellent. I appreciate you sharing all this with us. Where can people find you?
I have my website that has everything. It's pretty much my brick and mortar, my office, whatever you want to call it. And it's www.edarosallc.com. So it's edarosallc.com. And there you can find the links to our podcast, our online shop with all our swag, because everybody wants a CEO paralegal shirt now, all of a sudden, or a limitless one. We have several branches, so you can go on our website and always find out what we're up to.
Excellent. Well, again, I appreciate you sharing all that. And again, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast. Our next episode will be posted in about 2 weeks. If you have any ideas about a future episode, please contact me at MichaelDJ@TechSavvyLawyer.page. Have a great day and happy lawyering.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.